I am so excited. Here we are, the second week. The second week. Anybody didn't get to come last week and you're new, so you're here this week? Anybody? Raise your hand. I got several messages from some of y'all saying, oh, I couldn't be there last week, but I'm there this week. And then I had several messages saying, I've got to miss this week. So listen, we get it. Like it's we're moms. We always have something going on. So just get here when you can, because when you can get here, the Lord has a word for you, is what I always say. I never really tell people about Moms with Swords. Like, I've got people that I work out with that I've been working out with forever at the Y, and a couple of them have come up to me and been like, why have you never told me about Moms with Swords? And I just kind of go, again, sometimes the Lord will just gravitate me to you, and I'm like, you need to be at Moms with Swords. But that's very rare, because I just believe the Spirit, y'all. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that if I let Him do His job, it's way better than me getting in the way of His job. So if you're here, if this is your first session, if this is your first Thursday, if you are an old Moms with Swordser and you're back, I just believe it's your time. And so, like, y'all better, in the words of the great T.D. Jakes, you better get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, because He has something for you. That's just how God is. That's how He works in this ministry. I love that, you know, nobody's paid in this ministry, so I don't have to worry if you get mad and leave. You know what? Okay, that's fine, because Jesus is in charge of this ministry. I am just doing what He's called me to do, and if you're here, I am so excited, but you don't have to be here if Jesus doesn't want you here. And y'all know I sweat, so I'm going ahead and taking it off. I cannot, everybody's like, aren't you freezing? I'm like, well, I won't be in about 5 minutes, because you're going to, and I thought, oh shoot, it's gray, so just go ahead. Excuse the sweat that you're going to see. I might even start sweating right here, so it's all good. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited about today. And let me tell you why I'm excited before we pray. Because I had such a bad day yesterday, y'all. I came in here, I'm just heavy. I'm heavy, I'm heavy, I'm heavy. And I always know when I feel this way, the Lord is fixing to unleash something out of me. Because it's all Him, because I'm so tired. I'm so tired, and it's nothing major. It's nothing huge, you know. It's how it is with moms, right? And it's not even all about mothering. It's just the little things upon little things. And I'll just tell you one thing, because I won't bore you and tell you all the things. But one thing, if you know me, I am a routine person. I love routine. And the older I get, the more I love it. Like, you can know my life by just following me around, like, in 1 week. I wake up, spend time with the Lord, get my kids off. I go to the Y. I work out. And I go by Chick-fil-A. I get my tea. Then I go do a few little errands. I go home, and I sit. I make up beds. I sit. Like, that's, like, my routine. And on Wednesdays is my favorite day, because I have become such an introvert as I've gotten older. Like, I love you, but I really like to be alone. And so Wednesdays are my day just to be alone, like in my house. Like, it's my Sabbath. I call it my Sabbath to get ready for y'all for today. And yesterday I woke up and I was so excited, because I was going to get everybody to school. I was going to go spend time with one of my babies for a little few hours. And then I was going to come home and just camp out in my house. Don't laugh. I put Disney Junior on my TV. On mute, but I just like to have, just it just does something to my mama's heart. And I sit at my desk and I just study and read and process. So I get home from taking my kids to school and I open the garage and Todd's car is in the garage. And y'all, I just go on and fussing at him. Why are you home today? He's like, I'll hide, I promise. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter, you're home. Like, it just, and so from there, it just spiraled. The day just spiraled. So I'm just confessing to y'all that I yelled at my husband, bless his heart. He's like, you're so mean. Because I'm like, I don't want you home today, it's Wednesday. He's like, I'll go sit in my car. I'm like, yes, okay. I mean, so anyway, that was how it all started, and it just fell apart. So I'm especially excited about today, because whenever I'm heavy and hurting and I don't have any strength, I'm so tired, the Lord just comes in and just pours out like a flood. So y'all better just get ready. The lights may go out again, and they may actually stay off this week. So would you stand, and let's grab our sister's hand. Remember the word. If you were not here last week, the Lord gave me a word for this session. I felt like a word for you for this session. So I just want to read this over you again today. And if you were here, great. If you weren't, just receive this word. It's out of Daniel. I just really believe this was a word for us. The angel, theologians don't know if it was an angel or if it was actually God, but I believe they lend more to this was actually God himself. In Daniel, telling Daniel in Daniel 10:12, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come to answer you. His word for you, Mom. So Jesus, Lord, God, I thank you that when we are weak, you are strong. In our weakness, you are strong. And I know I'm not the only one that's weak this morning, God. I know there are mamas that are pressed, that are feeling crushed, that are feeling hemmed in and beat down. God, we are weak, God. We are so weak in our flesh. There are so many demands on us. There's so many people vying for our attention. There's so many things coming up against our marriages, things coming up against our kids, things coming up against us through other people. God, would you just, in our weakness today, God, would you just infuse us with your strength? This is really crazy, but I just see the Lord, like if you've seen the Minion movie. Okay, this, just go with me here. I feel this. The Minion movie, the Despicable Me 2, when they would give the minions a shot and it would turn them into the crazy minions. Like, I really see God, like, literally, like giving us a shot of his strength this morning, and it's going to change us. It's going to infuse us with something that we did not come in here with. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you can just shoot something in us through your spirit, and we can leave not as we came in. God, that we can buck our shoulders back a little bit more when we're weary and we're just carrying too much, we're overburdened. God, you can give us that shot of just your supernatural strength, and we can stand up a little taller knowing that you have given us something that we need. So God, would you hear us? Would you answer us? Would you infuse us, Lord? Would you infuse us with the strength that you promised to give us? When we're weak, we're weak. I'm weak, Lord. I'm weak. I'm tired, God. You know I'm burdened. I'm heavy this morning. So God, I need you to flow out of me and onto these women. And I need you to splash anything and everything you need them to hear from your spirit today. And only that to remain on their hearts and their minds when they leave here. So God, I thank you. I speak the strength of the Lord over every one of you ladies in the name of Jesus. The strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord. May it be yours right now. God, give it to them right now by faith in Jesus' name. Give it to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your sister and say, the strength of the Lord is yours. And sit down. I got it. You got it. Did you have to say that a little bit this week when you were dealing with things? When your baby was sick in the middle of the night? I got it. I got what I need. I got it. I got it. When your toddler's whining, when your teenager is driving you crazy? I got it. I got it. I got it. The word says, I got it. We've got all we need to give in all the spaces and the places we're needed. It's been bestowed. It's ours. 2 Peter 1:3, It's on the back of those really cute, soft, perfect shirts that you got. I love it. And I was going to wear mine, but it's long sleeve and I just will burn up. So, but I love this verse. For his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through a true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. We've got it. We have got it. He has bestowed, not he will, not if you meet all the requirements, not if you go to Bible study and go to Moms with Swords and you know, are a good wife and a good friend. No, you've got it whether you are any of those things. That is called grace. You got it. You got it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it. You may have grown up in a home that you felt you had to earn something to have approval. Listen to me. Based on scripture, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn it. You have it. It is yours. You are complete in Christ Jesus. You are complete. I want to read it. It's not that I just got to read this. I just feel the Spirit telling me to read this over you. Colossians 2, 9 through 10. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows in us. He is the head of every kingdom in the universe. You are complete in Christ Jesus. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. You got it all. When you bent your knee or walked down an aisle or said a prayer, whatever you did, you got it all. You got it all. Praise you, Lord. We got it all. Last week, I pray the Holy Spirit awakened in you this knowing. I believe these first 2 weeks, and listen, the next two weeks are going to be awesome. We're going to talk about how we bestow into marriages. So, got chills. Woo, got chills. So these first 2 weeks, I believe God's wanting to solidify a knowing, like you know in your knower. I've got what I need. I've got what I need. And I'm praying that Jesus will continue to build this in us over these next, after this week, y'all, we've only got 6 weeks left. I've got this. He's given it to me. I didn't have to earn it. I've got it in Christ Jesus. I got everything in my bag. I got everything in my life that I need. I've got it. So this week, we're going to spend this week, dissecting just a little bit more this concept, a little more, and possibly in a more practical way. You're asking how. That's been the biggest thing. You're asking how. How do I have what I need when the baby won't sleep? How do I have what I need when my husband says bad things and mean things to me? How do I have what I need when my child is constantly the one that's picked on? How do I have what I need to walk through this in these unhealthy relationships that are around me and my family, God? How do I have what I need? It's hard. So today I want to jump into that just a little bit more and just, again, ask the Lord just to solidify it a little bit more in your knower that you got it. You got it. Before next week we jump into how we bestow into our marriages. And then the next 2 weeks, how we bestow into our kids. And then the last 2 weeks we're going to spend, I'm going to be teaching on how we bestow into others. But before we do today, if you were here last week, you know I've got these really fun, Stacy Parker, actually, y'all can, she was the one that really kind of got my mind going, because she's like, I loved it when you talked about the eagle. And I know Natalie Neal, Smarty Pants back there, she's like, I love it when you give all those facts and of the eagle. And so I came up with this, like the Lord had already, I'd already been kind of studying the animal mothers. I know that's kind of weird. I mean, I don't know why, but the Lord had me studying, obviously, because he needed me to do it this session. So I've been studying just animal mothers and just talking about how this, you know, we're bestowing to our kids. And so how these animal mamas bestow to their babies. I mean, they're mamas too, right? So last week we talked about the rhinoceros and the elephant, how they're pregnant for forever. Well, this week, the fascinating fact on animal mamas and how they give to their babies is on the kiwi bird. Has anybody ever heard of the kiwi bird? Some of you shaking your heads. It's out of New Zealand. It's like New Zealand's well-known bird. But it's the size of a chicken. It's the size of a little chicken. But listen, her egg is 6 times the size of a chicken egg. The egg takes up so much room in this little mama's belly that she has to fast for the end of her pregnancies. She can't even eat. When she does finally lay that big old egg, it can weigh up to 20% of her weight. This is the equivalent, and we have some of you mamas that were 120 pounds when you birthed a child, and we will not make you stand up because we don't have eggs to throw at you. I was all of 206 pounds when I delivered all three of my babies, y'all. I am not afraid and not afraid. I mean, I look at pictures of my legs in the stirrups with Sydney, and I'm like, holy moly. Yep, 206 pounds, but this kiwi bird, it would be the equivalent of a 120-pound woman birthing a 24-pound baby. I mean, y'all, talk about bestowing, giving, laboring. I mean, this little kiwi bird, go look him up on the internet this afternoon. He's cute. I mean, there's a usage of bestow in the Greek. It's the kopeo, and its usages are labor, toil, wearied. I mean, that is an example of laboring and toiling for your babies. So just a fun little fact on the kiwi bird. Go look her up today. So we've got it. It's already been bestowed us. We've got it. Now today I want us to jump in to some ways we continue to cultivate this knowing. I want you to look at 1 John 3:1. If you have your Bible, you don't have to have your Bible because Sweet Anne is going to just magically put it up on the screen. 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, I want to sit right there for a second. This in the Greek, because we're in the New Testament, so it's Greek. This behold, because it's really important for today's message, behold. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not an adjective. It is a verb. To stare. To discern clearly. We got to set this right here. This is so important for this scripture. This is why it's so good to dig into scripture. Because when you dig into scripture, you just find plunder that just, you can just, hey, Diane Barber. You just find plunder that you can just take and just store in some, you know, just like, you know, when you have, some of you have babies that chew food and they like chew it for like hours and maybe leave it in there for a little bit, like for later. I've heard some of you say that. Like, this is what you do with scripture. You just learn it and you chew on it. So it just, when you need it, it's there. So we have to sit there. Behold, 1 John 3:1, behold, properly to stare, to discern clearly what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Stare, Mama. Stare into that love. Discern the love the Father has bestowed on us. That, are you kidding? We should be called children of God. Behold, stare at that. The love your Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. See, I really believe to continually know that I've got it, I have got to have a radical revelation of how loved I am. You have got to have a radical revelation of how loved you are. Stare, discern, clearly know that I am loved by my Father, so that when I do face what I have to face in this life, some of the things I had to walk through yesterday, I can walk through it with a confident knowing, God, you love me. This is hard. I don't like this. It's heavy. I don't want to walk this, but God, I know you love me. You've got to have a radical revelation of how loved you are. Listen, your babies need you every day to tell them you love them. Every day. And not just tell them. And listen, I got three. They're all different. And there are, I won't mention names. There's a couple, maybe one that's really easy to love. And there's one that's just hard. I mean, just hard, but I got to tell them, I got to show them. I got one that do not touch her, do not hug her. It is generational. Her grandmother's like that. Her daddy is like that. We call him a cold fish on purpose because he really is like, she doesn't, but I do, but there's just, I can, like the Holy Spirit will just, like Sophie Kate, come on, you. So it's a joke. Like all my friends are like, I ran up to Sophie Kate and I just hugged her really big. So the next time you see Sophie Kate, hug her really big. She'll just, but I know she needs it because they need it. They need it. They need you to show them. You can't just have confident kids without knowing that they're radically loved by you. Experts, y'all, like this, it's in the Bible, the biggest, the most, the expert of all experts, but also like experts will tell you, they say repetition is important for the growth and development of a child. Hearing those three words, I love you, allow kids to have an unwavering love stream at home. And it manifests into adulthood as positive relationships and high self-esteem, which I don't like the word high self-esteem. I would so much rather God esteem. I don't want my kids to have high self-esteem. No, no, it is God in you. It is nothing of you. It is all of God in you. So, just a side note, and that's just my opinion. It's not fact. It's just my opinion. But it allows your kids, these telling them, holding them, hugging them, I love you, I love you. It gives them this security. And listen, I grew up in some of your, I mean, I was a product of the 80s, and you know, my mama was doing the best she could. Some of you grow up in homes that I love you. It wasn't spoken a lot. It wasn't spoken a lot, and I would guarantee you, and every counselor in the room could probably back me up on this. I could guarantee you, you never heard it at home, and it's really hard for you to say it at home now. Can I just tell you to push through? And while you might not have ever heard it from your physical parents, today, behold, today, behold what manner of love your daddy, your heavenly Father has lavished on you that you could be called a daughter of his. Hear your daddy tell you that today. He is madly in love with you. And because of that, you can tell your babies, you can grab them and kiss their faces off and tell them how much you love them. I mean, I just want to kiss your babies' faces off. I mean, some of y'all are like, I have to like not go for the lips because I just want to go for the lips. That's why I love having my little niece now, because I mean, I can just suck her face off and I don't have to worry because she's family. I won't do that to your kids. Some of you have told me, given me permission, Joy, you can do it, so it's okay. I know the ones I can, and some of you think I'm crazy. Actually, it's a funny story. I did get caught in Chick-fil-A one day, because that's, again, one of my favorite places to go. And if you know me, if you stalk me, it would not be hard for somebody to come and kill me, because they could just follow my routine every day, hour by hour. Somebody came into Chick-fil-A, and it was a sister and a her sister went to Moms with Swords and had a baby, and the sister was with the baby, And I knew the baby from Moms with Swords. And so I, like, of course, like, you know, kissing. And the sister said, "Oh, your joy. I know you. She told me about you that you love to love on her baby. So it's totally fine." It's like, oh, I even have a reputation. Y'all, we have, listen, we got to tell our babies every day. We got to love them. We got to tell them we love them. But look, you have got to be told by your daddy every day that he loves you. You got to seek it out. You got to just sit for a second. I know it's hard to find time. I know, but listen, just wherever you can just sit and just say, God, just pour your love on me. Help me to know you love me. Today, right now. Let him tell you he loves you. I was at the Varsity not too long ago. My oldest is a senior, so we were doing senior pictures, and we were at the Varsity, and she was shooting these pictures, and so we were kind of on the bridge, like we were in all kinds of places, and there's all kinds of people walking around, and I saw this lady approaching us, and I could tell pretty quickly that she was homeless. And so she walked up to us, and Sydney and the girl are shooting pictures, and she just said, "Hey, do you have any money?" And I just said, "You know what? I would love to give you some food." I was like, "Have you ever been to the Varsity?" And she was like, "No." I was like, "Come on in. Let's go." So we walked into the Varsity, and as we're walking, I just hear the Holy Spirit just saying, "You tell her she's my beloved. You tell her." So, you know, you just don't want to feel uncomfortable. Like, I just didn't know. I mean, so I just didn't want to ask too much, but we're ordering, and I'm like, "What do you want?" And she, like, ordered, like, the smallest. Like, I was like, "No, no, you give her a double, make it biggie size, large size, whatever size." I was like, "If you ever had their, you know, naked dogs in there, what do you have? What do you have?" I was like, "You got to have everything." So you could just see that she was just, felt so unworthy. And I just kind of asked a little bit of her story. And I was like, "So tell me a little bit of your story." And she said, "Well, I'm here from Tennessee. And the homeless people in Georgia are way meaner than the ones in Tennessee. And my boyfriend's just, you know, just doesn't treat me right." And I just, the Holy Spirit continuing. And I just looked at her and I said, "Well, your boyfriend might not show you love, but your daddy Jesus loves you so much." And she just started bawling, and you could tell I was paying, and I walked her out, and she's just, you know, I'm just over and over, I'm like, "Do you know how much he loves you? You're his favorite." I said, "Can I pray with you?" And, you know, she's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Can I hug you?" And she said, "Yeah." And I grabbed her and I just prayed the Lord through me. Just, I said, you are so beloved by your Father. He loves you. You are his beloved. He loves you so much." And y'all, I just saw just the hardness for a moment. I know when she left me, it probably all came back. But for a moment, just her knowing that her father loved her. That moment, that day, it was no accident that I was there in that moment, that God was like, "Go tell her this." And she went on her way. I have prayed for that lady. I read this quote, and it so fits with that. I've read it not long after that incident. It said, "One word frees us of all the weight and pain of life, and that word is love." And that's what it did for that lady that day. For a moment, I saw the power of God's love and the frailty of human love. The power of us in Christ speaking that love over somebody else. Y'all, there is power. There is power. So you got to speak it over your babies, and you've got to let your daddy speak it over you. You want to know how? You get to know the who, and you get to understand how much he is in love with you. Radically in love with you. Your father's crazy in love with you. And I kept telling her that too. I was like, your father's crazy in love with you. Anybody ever heard that song? Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. It's on VeggieTales if you have a VeggieTale. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray, hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Oh, y'all, I forgot my book. Shoot, fire. So oil, I remember this. So there is oil in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a representation of the Holy Spirit. So when our kids are singing that song in the back seat, they're basically saying, give me the Holy Spirit in my lamp to keep me burning. Like, that's literally what we're saying. Like the Holy Spirit, just that oil, we have got to go. The Secrets of the Secret Place, one of my most favorite books. It's my go-to book, like devotional book, like almost every day. There's a chapter in there on buying oil. And I was supposed to bring it and read you a little bit of it, but that's okay because I got the gist of it to you. It's basically you got to go buy oil every day. You got to go get this oil. Motherhood requires oil in your lamp. So you can keep burning. You gotta stay in that love. You gotta drink in that love. You gotta soak in that love. You gotta go get the oil of the Holy Spirit. You gotta go get it. He's such a gentleman. He won't push himself on you. So you gotta go get it. It's always there. He's always speaking. He's always around. He's always active on your behalf. But you've got to be aware. And the more you're drinking in and taking in that oil, the fire in your heart, that zeal that we talked about last session is just going to be ignited. And that is going to help you face every how question. It's a force worth reckoning with. It's the sustaining power of his love. But God's word is so cool and so practical. There is a scripture passage, a couple scriptures that I want to give you that we're going to break down a little bit. Just for every how that you have, God's word has the answer. Give us oil, God. Give us oil in our lamps. Keep us burning. Y'all, our children need moms that are set ablaze. Which is why I'm so passionate and I'm so thankful that you guys show up. Because I am passionate, passionate for you to burn with the zeal of the fire of God. Because I fully believe as you burn, your kids will burn. And y'all, listen, please don't think I'm at all bragging because I'm not. But I will tell you, my firstborn, you don't have to get around her long to feel the heat of the Spirit of God coming out of her. And it is nothing I've done. It's nothing I've done. But one thing I have done is I've just continually, God, I got to stay close. Keep me burning because I want my kids to burn with you. I mean, she's at retreat right now and she is calling me, blowing up my phone like she is about to ignite the whole camp. I'm like, Sid, calm down, calm down. Like, y'all, I want our kids in their preschools. Are you kidding me? I want them to burn with the fire of God. And again, this is not a personality thing. The fire of God will ignite you all the way God has bent you to be ignited. But I believe as you and I burn, our kids are going to burn and culture will burn. Can you imagine? Man, it's my passion for you. It's a passion for my kids. I got one that burns and you just get near and you burn too. And I got another one that you got to get around her a long time to feel that fire, but it's there. And then I got one that's too busy complaining and being negative to burn. But I'm working on his. I'm just like, keep me burning, Lord. Keep me burning, keep me burning. Let it fall on John Williams. But the word is so good. We got to stay in the word. We got to stay in the word. Look at Jeremiah 17:7-8. Let's know where to get our oil, and let's know how. You want to know how to raise these kids, how to have a good marriage, how to love other people when you don't want to. Well, you got to know where to get help. You got to know where to get help. Now we're going to break it down practically. So Jeremiah 17, but blessed is the man who trusts me. Well, it really says, sorry, the woman who sticks with God. The woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry through the hottest of summers. Never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season. You want to know how? We're going to learn how today. It's been given to you. It's in your bag. We just got to dig and stare and behold the one who has given us everything. So let's break this down practically. First off, and I'm going to read that. That was the message. And did I give you the Amplified too? Awesome. So you can go and put the Amplified up. I'm going to read it from the Amplified too. I'm going to give you 4 points to this, that the practicals of out of this verse. I believe we have got to pray continually. I believe blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts and relies on the Lord. Well, that knowing, again, is only going to be produced through a prayer life. Getting that oil, meeting with your Father every day. You got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. Because listen, our first place to run as mothers, and I don't care who you are, I guarantee you, your first place as a mother to run in most circumstances is fear or control. I pray God baptize us with a knowing to run to faith, an expectation that it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. We're going to run to the Father. And listen, what I'm learning is and y'all know I talked about it last week, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit again this week. Fear is my carrot. It is my carrot that the enemy just loves to dangle. Fear and approval of man. Those are my carrots. So he knows, but y'all, he doesn't have new tricks. So if you find yourself coming up against the same things, y'all need to just go ahead and call him out and say, okay, I get it. Fear is your way you're going to try to get me. But guess what? I see you. I know you. So you are defeated. I've got your number. Sometimes I say that out loud. As Sydney is telling me she's going to go to a football game Friday night in Calhoun and drive home after. Jesus. I'm like, nighttime, 11:30, 75, oh my gosh. See, I want to go to, no, I see it, devil, I see it. So we got to get, that prayer life has got to be cultivated so we can run to the Father first. 911, Father, help me. And then we can, I believe, the more we do that, we will have number two down, which is, do not fear, because that's what this scripture says. He will not fear. He will not fear when the heat comes. Okay? Look, it will not fear the heat when it comes. The Bible's telling us it's going to come. Jesus told the disciples, in this world, you will have many, what? Trials. You will have them. They're coming. The heat's going to come, y'all. But I so want to run to faith first. I want to run to the expectation of faith. Listen, this might not be good, but God's going to make it good. This might not feel good, but God's going to make it good. That is faith. That is that running to faith, that expecting the best. I looked up some articles on what heat physically does to the body. And listen, this happened to me yesterday in one of my situations. It's just like when I'm at the softball field. Like, I get skinny in summer because I don't eat. Because I see some of y'all, when you get stressed, you eat. I'm the opposite. When I get stressed, I start sweating. Sydney's up to bat. I can't eat the whole week. You know, I'm like stressed out. Like, I can't eat. I get hot, and this is what heat can do to your body. An article in the Chicago Tribune said this: the moment you step into oppressive heat, the body senses life-threatening danger, and it starts fighting to keep things cool. That's what when you hear something with some news that you get. You have a conversation with somebody. Sometimes this might ring familiar with you. You start getting, like, you feel danger, and you it might not be physically hot, but there's this situation that's heated and it's coming at you. Moms, you got to fight to stay cool. You got to fight. The heat is coming. When it comes, the Bible says. But it also says we cannot fear. Y'all, it's possible. Now listen, I don't think it's going to ever be fully like we're never going to not fear or want to control ever again until we're in heaven, right? We know that. I'm not saying that. But I do believe that we can be ahead of it. We can be one step ahead of the enemy. I fully believe it, but you gotta have eyes to see it and be willing to see it. You gotta know your buttons. You gotta know the lies that you believe. You gotta know the mindsets, the patterns. That's why I love counseling. I love it. You gotta know what triggers you. This whole love thing. This might be something for you, this love thing, like I don't, because maybe there's something that you never got as a child. So the enemy keeps using that in your life in some way. You got to know your buttons. You got to know the carrot, as Priscilla Schreier says, because the heat's coming, y'all. It's coming. One article said your heart starts beating faster as the blood flow increases. You know those moments, like, and I still have them, and I have, my kids are a little bit older, but those moments when you can't see your kids, oh my gosh, and and some of y'all might be like, that's fine with me for a little bit. I'd happy to not see them. You know, like in, you know, Target or something. Even, I mean, Sophie Kate's almost 15 in a couple weeks, and if I can't see her, I'm like, Sophie, you know, because my heart starts beating. That's what it does to the body. Heat, the definition of heat is the quality of being hot, high temperature, intensity of feeling. This is more what I'm talking about, like especially of anger or excitement, like just that nervousness that just, oh. Do you think that you'll ever walk through some heated situations with your kids? Some of you are probably maybe in the smack dab middle of them right now, walking through some hard stuff with your babies. It's okay. Jesus already said, it's going to come. But when it does come, the Bible says, because we've prepared, because we've trusted, relied, believed on Jesus, we can be ahead of the fear. And we can stop it in its tracks. Number three, we've got to remain in Him. It says, but its leaves, his leaves will be green and moist. Always green. This is just a beautiful picture to me. This portion of this scripture is a beautiful picture to me of John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Otherwise, apart from me, that is, when you are cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. It's the Psalm 1:2-3, mom, talking about the righteous man delighting in the law of the Lord. They are the trees planted by the streams. The same picture is in that passage in Psalms. They're like trees planted by the streams of water, bearing fruit each season. Leaves never withering. Mom, through the screaming, the up all night, the colicky season, you can be a lushful tree. You can. Dreading those middle school years. Oh my word, I've got to let my kid go to middle school. You can produce, I love this picture, the Lord gave it to me, like you can produce like fruit on the life of your life that your kids can come and pick from when they need it. You can produce fruit of joy, of peace, of gentleness, of patience. You and your kids can sense that and they can come pick it off of your tree. But it doesn't manifest magically. You've got to remain in him. You've got to be connected to the vine. That is the prerequisite for leaves that are green. You're trusting, you're relying, you're believing. The man who believes, who trusts, who relies on the Lord, that's when your trees are always green. How? How can I do this? By trusting and knowing and believing in Jesus, knowing he loves me, knowing that he's given me everything I need. And finally, we've got to stop worrying. It says they have no worries in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit because of it. Wow. Is that possible? Is it? Do you think it's possible? I challenge you all the time and I tell you, it's not that God will, but by golly, you better believe that your God can. It is not God's will all the time to do exactly, pray exactly the way you and he answers the way you want him to. But by golly, y'all, I want us to run there first. Pray until God says no. Believe until God says no, not this way. I've told y'all about John William having strep so much. Over and over he had strep all the dang time. ENT. We got to take his tonsils out. And I just, again, Holy Spirit counselor in me was just like, I just didn't feel good about it. So I finally, red flag, was going to Dr. Sip, my favorite ENT. And I said, Lord, I'm putting my fleece out. If Dr. Sip tells me that he needs his tonsils out, I'm going to believe that that's from you and I'm going to do it. But if not, I'm going to believe you're going to heal him. Sure enough, I go see Dr. Sip, sit down, and he basically says this to me. He says, would it help? Absolutely. But do you have to? Nope. And I looked right at his face and I said, well, then God will heal him. And y'all, he hardly ever gets strep now. Hardly ever. And again, not that God will, but I was believing, God, you can. You can. We got to stop worrying. Faith first. Kick fear to the door. Man, y'all, I'm not there yet. You know I'm not. I confess it to y'all every day, every Thursday. I'm not there yet. But what I am finding and what I believe God is planting in each of you is the more I get to know the who, the more I get to know the what has been given to me because of my union with Christ, the more I am, if I go there first, I quickly catch myself and I flip it around. And it is like stomping on the devil's face. And that's what I'm trying to get us to believe this session. The Holy Spirit in me, oh, feel my passion. I want you to get it. I want you to know that God can. He can. That job you're praying for your husband, and you're like, it'll never happen. Why not? Why not ask God? We don't even ask. Well, Lord, it's just your will for us to suffer, and it's just your will for us to be in this financial state. I know faith preachers get a really bad rap, and I'm not saying I'm a faith preacher, but I kind of am a faith preacher. Because, y'all, I just believe that God wants to do more than we could think, ask, or imagine. It's in his word. And we don't even ask. And listen, I've had two parents die of cancer. So I am not telling you God's, oh, you better believe it and it'll happen. I'm not saying that. But I truly believe I sit under them all the time. I listen to them all the time. There are too many preachers, too many people not preaching the gift and the miracle of faith. just saying, oh, just deal with it. You got to deal with it. Just walk through it. No! I believe I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, still believing. And encounter God in every part of it. I walked through the valley of the shadow of death with my mom. It was obvious the Lord's like, I'm not going to heal her on earth. Absolutely fine. Thank you, Jesus. I got it. I believe that you could heal her physically. But once I knew in my spirit that God wasn't going to heal her physically, we walked through that valley of the shadow of death. And you know what? We did not fear. It was ours. That scripture was ours. So listen, you can walk through the darkest times because listen, suffering produces character. Character produces perseverance. Yes, absolutely. I have suffered miscarriages, financial stuff. I have suffered a lot and God has grown me and he is going to use suffering. But y'all, let's walk through suffering with faith. Not with this, okay. No, let's walk through it with some faith. Let's walk through the middle school years with some faith and not, oh, they're just going to be terrible. They're just going to rebel. You better let her. She's just going to rebel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm going to walk through the middle school years because I'm there in sixth grade with a boy right now. I'm walking through the middle school years when he's trying to start hiding stuff. I am not fearful. I am walking through full of faith, knowing that God is going to use these years to cultivate a character and my son that the devil would not have any plan in. You walk through them with eyes of faith. Stop worrying. And I'm preaching it to myself today. Tell me that. Somebody text me Friday night when Sydney is driving home from Calhoun from the football game. Text me, Joy, stop worrying. They have no fear in a year of drought. The impact of a drought, y'all, results from the interplay between the natural event, less participation than expected, and the demand people place on a water supply. And human activities can exacerbate the impacts of a drought. This covers all areas of the droughts we are going to see along our mothering journey. There's going to be times when you are sowing and sowing and seeing nothing. So I am a testament. I have been proclaiming, do everything without complaining or arguing, John William. I have been proclaiming that over him for 11 years. But I do see some fruit. I see it. He catches himself, y'all. He catches himself now. He catches himself. There's hope. I mean, he is his daddy made over. He goes to the worst case scenario. It's like, I mean, hilarious. Some of you who know my husband, I mean, it is hilarious. The worst case scenario, and John Williams is just like him, but John Williams catching himself. He'll say this to himself now, I renounce that. I'm like, yes, you do renounce that. Y'all, we pour out, and sometimes we don't see any fruit. But this verse is telling us that we've got to believe as we trust, as we rely on Jesus, even when we're dry. Even those dry times in our mothering, those dry times in our marriages, as we're pressing into Jesus, we're going to be producing. That pressing, y'all, that pressing into Jesus when we don't want to, when we're mad, when we're mad that he's not answering our prayer like we want him to pray, we want him to answer, where we're mad, I believe as we continue to press in, there will still be producing. When I feel dry, when you feel dry because you've been pouring out. See, our watermarks won't diminish. Because you see, you and I are drinking from the right source. When we're dry, y'all, that's why I tell moms that all the time when they're going through hard stuff. I'm like, you better not listen to anything other than worship music. And you better guard what you watch on TV. Y'all, when you're in those dry seasons, you got to feed yourself the right things. It practically makes sense to me, right? You don't give your baby, what's the first thing you give your babies when they first start food? You don't give them bananas because they're not going to like the spinach, Right? You got to give them, you got to feed yourself the right things. You got to drink from the right source. I have to be so proactive. I have to watch more than ever what I watch on TV, what I listen to, because y'all, I'm so weak. It's not because I'm strong. It's because I'm so weak. I want to feed faith in my heart. So I've got to guard what I listen to, even podcasts that I listen to. There'll be some that because I love to listen, and I love to receive from all different kinds of preachers and pastors. But I quickly know when I put one on, the Holy Spirit's like, uh-huh. You got to feed yourself the right things. Misery loves company. And listen, when you're in a season of drought, you better get around some of the mamas that are so full of the Spirit of God that that water will just splash on you. You get around them. You're going through a hard time in your parenting, in your marriage. You get around some of the sisters. That's why last couple sessions ago, marked out was so important. Don't you be like jealous of that sister that's ahead of you. Praise God for that sister that's ahead of you. I'm going to meet with one of mine today that's running farther ahead than me. I need her after the day I had yesterday. Praise God for her. I'm dry right here. I need you to remind me of the water that will fill me and will keep me from worrying. And y'all, you got to remember as mamas, our connection is not to the fruit. I am the vine. You are the branches. Our connection is to the vine. Your connection is not to the production of fruit that is being produced. Your connection is to the vine. You stay connected to Jesus and you let him produce the fruit, because he will. You get your babies connected to Jesus. You keep putting devotions in front of their face. You keep playing VeggieTales. You keep giving them scripture. Listen, that's reinforcing to them this connection to the vine. You are not responsible for the production of the fruit. I remember my mom would go through chemo, and every month, it's so beautiful, my mom, even just in her sickest days, like she'd have this chemo and we'd be so, you know, excited to get her results, like from her blood work, like, oh, there they should be good. And my mom one time said, wait, this chemo is not my healer. Jesus is my healer. And forgive me, Jesus, for looking at this drug as the healer. Has God used this drug? Absolutely. Praise you, Jesus, for chemotherapy that he has given man wisdom to create. But the production of the fruit, the production of my mom's healing was not from the medicine. My mom's healing came from Jesus and ultimately came from the presence of Jesus. But she lived 6 years, six wonderful years. Your connection, mom, is not to the fruit. Get your eyes off the fruit. You sticking with God, as this scripture says, the woman who sticks with God. I love Eugene Peterson, how he puts it in the message. You setting your feet like concrete in him and his love for you, you will be this woman. It's possible. Your pressing will bring forth producing. This pressing will give you the tenacity and the ability to know, to perceive, to behold the Father's love for you. That is the mortar that we talked about last week that God wants you to stick your feet in. So you cannot fear, so you can remain in him, and so you can stop worrying. How? If you're still asking after these last 2 weeks, how? Stare, behold, into your Father's face. Get to know his love for you. Stop at nothing. Stop at nothing to get in that love daily. There's a song called Reckless Love. You might have heard it. And it's such a great song. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit probably did something. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Like just a beautiful picture of not God, but of the love of God. This picture of the love of God, his love for you. I have a friend that goes to church here with me, and I love her so much. And she gave me something, and it totally flipped this whole song. And I just wanted to end telling you that maybe this is how something you can think about now. There's no shadow I won't light up. There's no mountain I won't climb up. God, I'm coming after you. There's no wall I won't kick down. I want to know my walls, God. I want to know. There's no lie I'm not going to tear down. I want to know the lies I'm believing, God, because I'm coming after you. Because as I run after you, my babies follow me, and they're following me to Jesus. If I'm running to fear, guess what? My children are going to run to fear. If I'm running to worry, guess what? My kids are going to learn. That's just how you do. That's what we do in our family, right? You're going to run there. But mama, if you run, God, there's no wall that I'm not going to kick down. There's no lie I'm not going to tear down. I'm coming after you. Set me ablaze, God. Set me ablaze. Because when that fire of God comes, it will touch every lie, every false motive, every false mindset, and it will resurrect it. And God will give you the victory over it. May it be so. May you say those lyrics over yourself. There's no shadow, God. I won't light up. There's no mountain I'm not going to climb up, because I'm coming after you. In Jesus' name, amen.